Now for Grandmaster Flash himself. Flash is one of the pioneer hip-hop DJs. In the 70s, he developed mixing and scratching techniques that became part of the basics of hip-hop. He started off DJing records at parties in the South Bronx. Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five was one of the first hip-hop groups to break out of the local scene and become an international success. Terry spoke with him in 2002 and started with a track from his CD that had just been released called Essential Mix Classic Edition, featuring his mix of dance hits of the 70s and 80s.
Grandmaster Flash, welcome to Fresh Air.
Thank you for having me.
I'm interested in how you started mixing music, how you started using two turntables or maybe even more than two. Was this something you started doing at home or in clubs as a DJ?
My love for vinyl and for the turntables probably came about when I was old enough to sort of start looking into turntables and stuff of that nature. And that's probably, you know, although it was a negative experience, and when I say negative, meaning like I used to just sort of take apart electrical items in my mother's house, including turntables, just to figure out how they work and why they work. And my intention was to put it back together properly, but I just could not do it. But I just had this thing where I just had to know how the inside of a turntable worked, how the inside of a radio worked, and how my father's stereo. And that's probably where it really started, just like to have this undying interest.
Well, you basically started using turntables as if they were instruments. How did you start using turntables to change the music that you were listening to as opposed to just playing the music?
Well, I think coming up, I watched a lot of DJs in my early teens. And watching the DJs of that particular time, they were playing the music. Like my influences, although they were great positive influences. I'm talking about DJ Kool Herc and Pete DJ Jones. These two DJs inspired me to do what I did. And they would play the music, and I just sort of felt like I can take the most exciting part of a record, which we call the break, and sort of extend that, because a lot of these songs that I was listening to were like obscure funk tunes where the break section was like maybe 10 seconds long. And from a frustrated point of view, I had this thought that if I can just come up with a way of just taking duplicate copies of the record with two turntables and a mixer, I can extend that five or 10 second part seamlessly and make it 10 minutes if I wanted to. And that's, you know, my thoughts manifested into creating an art form called the quick mix theory, which is actually taking a passage of music or two duplicate copies of vinyl and sort of moving the disc back and forth and repeating a section of the passage, you know, between duplicate copies of the record. That's where it started.
Because you were putting the needle down on exactly the right part of the record with the rhythm that you wanted to hear, could you actually, you know, some people say that you were able to look at the grooves of a vinyl record and know exactly where the rhythm was that you wanted, that you could actually see it in the grooves.
Well, actually, you know, I was pretty decent at it, but it was my first student that I taught this quick mix theory to, Grand Wizard Theodore, was probably the best at that, and it was called needle drops. But what I came up with is what I call the clock theory, and the clock theory was where you would place the needles down on both copies of the vinyl, and when the ending of one was over, you would push in the next fader, but while the other one was playing, you would sort of spin the record back one or two revolutions to the top of that break, and then when the other one was over, you would push in the other. So it was like push, spin back, push, spin back. So I actually never, you know, this made it an assured way of being able to get back to the beginning of the break section without actually having to pull the needle up. And what I would do is I would mark, like, on the label, if it was like a record from a, if it was a 12-inch from Atlantic Records, and if the break began at, let's just say, at the top of the A, I would sort of put like a magic marker right there. So that would be my clock of where I had to bring the record back to, one or two revolutions back, to re-arrive at the top of the break. And I would just sort of do this with two copies of records back and forth. So picking up the needle, you know, was no longer an issue, because that day wasn't definite. Because once you picked it up, you know, I could always get close to it, but it was never really, like, exact. And creating the clock theory, which all DJs use today now, where they mark the album at a certain point, is one of my contributions to the art of the DJ mix.
Grandmaster Flash speaking with Terry Gross in 2002. More after a break. This is Fresh Air. Let's get back to Terry's 2002 interview with Grandmaster Flash, one of hip-hop's turntable pioneers. Grandmaster Flash and his influential group, the Furious Five, will be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame next week in New York.
It was scratching something that you invented, or was that invented by one of the people who influenced you?
Well, actually, it was called cutting, and the whole thing was, like I said earlier in the interview, called the quick mix theory, and we called it cutting because it was actually taking a section of the rhythm and rearranging it. And this is something that I've created over 27 years ago.
You must have really been intense.
Well, I probably was more frustrated than anything, because, I mean, so much stuff I had to buy, like a lot of it was trial and error, you know, trying to get my hands on the right needle. You know, I had to go through countless needles, you know, trying to find the right turntable. I had to go through countless turntables and then finding the right mixer, but then it didn't have a system where I can pre-hear the music in my head, so I had to create something called the peekaboo system. So I had to, like, actually jury-rig these things, you know. That's why I had to go into backyards and look for stuff and go through abandoned cars or ask people, you know, that might have been throwing away stuff. Just, you know, just so that I can just basically have these things. But at this point in time, I still didn't know what these internal parts was. So while I was tearing up all the stuff inside my mother's house and became, like, public enemy number one with my sisters and stuff, my mother decided to send me to school.
What kind of school?
Samuel Gompers Vocational and Technical High School. And that's where I started to understand, like, what is a resistor? What is a capacitor? What is AC versus DC? What is a transformer? What's a push-pull circuit? What's a diode rectifier? What's transistorized versus tubes? And what's an ohmmeter? And what's an oscilloscope, and what's a wave? And, you know, I started, like, actually understanding as I was, you know, not so now when I tore into something, I sort of had somewhat of an idea of what it is and what it did. So all these things helped me to jury-rig and to put together the system so that I can start on getting this concept out of my head that just kept staying in my head, so to speak.
Why don't we listen to one of your now classic recordings, and this is The Adventures of Grandmaster Flash on the Wheels of Steel.
You say, one for the trouble, two for the time. Come on, girls, let's rock that.
Five, five, Freddy, tell me everybody's side. DJ is spinning, I said, my, Flash is cool.
He say one for the trouble, two for the time. Come on, girls, let's rock that.
That's Grandmaster Flash from the early 80s, one of his classic recordings, The Adventures of Grandmaster Flash on the Wheels of Steel. You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to hear that again, but this time, keep your microphone on and have you describe what you're doing as we listen to it. Here we go.
You say,
Punch Face.
You say,
Spoon and G, Monster Jam. I let it go there.
The time. Come on, girls, let's rock that.
It's a Blondie here.
DJ spinning, I said, my,
Punch Face. Punch Face.
Flash is cool, Francois, Sipa, Flash, and
you say one for the trouble.
Back to Spoonie again.
Time. Come on, girls, let's rock that.
Into Good Times, Chic. Into Apache on the Rub. Cutting it up, cutting it up. Back in again. Punch Face, Queen, another one bites the dust. In. Cutting into rhythm. I'm using Good Times to rub the rhythm against Queen. Good Times by Chic.
Now that release is so nice, the way it synchronizes there.
Thank you. Thank you. That's the whole key to it, you know. That's what my contribution is. Keeping it on time. That was like the key.
Grandmaster, come faster.
It's I Punch Face.
Grandmaster.
From Freedom.
Grandmaster. Come faster.
Cutting it up.
Grandmaster. Grandmaster. Come faster.
Punch Face in Good Times. Back to Good Times.
When we left off in your development as a DJ, you were still working at home and scavenging audio equipment from junked cars and things like that. Once you perfected your technique and you started working parties and then working in clubs, what was it like for you to see the reaction of the crowds to the thing that you had been doing alone in your home?
You know, I watch these songs, certain DJs play from the beginning, and I knew that at that particular part is where the audience went wild. So I figured, let me just go to the part of these songs and just do them one behind another, but it was just extremely quiet. And it turned out that the real fact of the matter is vocal entertainment was sort of needed to accompany this new way of DJing. And I made the first attempt, and I was totally horrible of trying to like rap with my mixing, and it was really too much to do at one time because
sure.
it's constantly, you know, it's a constant, you know, taking records on, taking them off, putting them on, you know. So I was horrible at it, and then what I would do is basically put a microphone out on the other side of the table, and anyone that thought that they can verbalize to this newfound science of mixing, please feel free, you know. Everybody failed except for this one person who probably was like the savior of my esteem. It was Keith Wiggins. He was my first MC. He went by the name of Cowboy. And Cowboy had a way of, he reminded me of like a ringmaster at the circus, you know. And he had a very commanding voice. And he came up with a verbalization, like, you know, throw your hands in the air, say this, ho, say party, and this and that. So that was the perfect diversionary tactic to get people off of looking at me and to look at him and do what he says do while I go through a series of breaks, you know, just playing one behind another seamlessly to the beat.
Grandmaster Flash, speaking with Terry Gross in 2002. Grandmaster Flash and his influential group, the Furious Five, will be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame next week in New York. It's the first time a hip-hop act has been honored there. I'm David Bianculli, and this is Fresh Air.